Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
We've got to go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. We welcome in Jason Lloyd of The Athletic. Quickly, because we were talking about this, Jason, Dame Lillard gave 9 years to the city of Portland. He's got 1 year left on his contract that he signed, and now it would seem that he wants out. And I'm just asking everybody, when are you allowed? Is there an amount of years? Does it have to do with dysfunction of a franchise? When, as an athlete, should you be allowed to want out?
Anymore in the NBA, it's pretty much they have to sign the contract if you want. But, you know, realistically, I really like the way Paul George did it with Indiana. He went to him with 2 years left and said, listen, I'm just letting you know I'm not coming back. You do what you want. You know, if you want to get something for me, you know, now is your opportunity to do it. But I'm not coming back. Or I guess it was with you. I don't remember now. It all went together. But, you know, I guess there's ways to go about it, right? There's ways to do it. And if you go to the team and say, you know, here's my contract. Here's when I'm guaranteed to play for you guys until this date. And just so you know, here's a professional courtesy. I'm not coming back after that. You know, I think that's the best way to handle it.
Well, there,
and the team can do what they want.
Yeah, there is a player here on the Cavs that doesn't seem to want out at all. Seems to love it in Cleveland. Probably wants to stay here, sign a max deal, and that's Colin Sexton. He averaged over 24 a game last year. Obviously, the team didn't win a lot of games. It seemed like he did improve. I don't know that he made a leap, but it seems like he did improve. So why right now, Jason, so much conversation around the league that the Cavs might be wheeling and dealing and might be trading Colin Sexton?
It's because of the contract. I mean, that's why. I mean, I wrote that, what, a month ago? And everyone went crazy that they need to look at trading him. And it's not because he's a bad player. He's not a bad player. He's just not a max player. And this is going to become a problem. In terms of negotiations, I fully expect them to ask for the max, and then the Cavs have a decision to make. You can give them the max, which I think would be a mistake. You can just let them take it to restricted free agency, or you can trade them. And, you know, you can say, well, then just take them to restricted. You know, just don't pay them the max if you don't want to pay them the max. Just let them go to restricted free agency. I was talking to a couple people in the league about that. Like, well, that's going to hurt the relationship then. You know, if he's asking for X and you tell him, no, you're not worth that, or, you know, whatever else, then that could damage the relationship between player and franchise. So there's a lot of nuance to it. And it really comes down to what are you comfortable paying him on an extension and what is he willing to take? And, you know, from all indications, I wholeheartedly believe they're going to ask for the max. And there was a time not long ago where I thought, like, yeah, the Cavs are going to pay it. I don't think that anymore. I don't think that they're going to pay that anymore, and that's why I think that you're hearing some of the stuff that you're hearing now.
Is any of that dependent on who they draft? If they use that pick at three, does that matter?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. You know, I mean, Jalen Suggs is a bit of an overlap with Colin, right? You know, Jalen Green, not as much, but still maybe a little bit. You know, Evan Mobley, not at all. And if they do take one of the Jalens, you know, theoretically, there's plenty of minutes to play all these guys. But again, it comes back to the contract situation, and you've got this Kevin Love contract on the books, and you're about to give Jared Allen big time money. And you know, if you do the same thing with Colin, you're gonna have no cap space for quite a while. And I don't know that that's the best way. This team is not in that position. You know, this is not the 2014 Cavs. who went over the cap, but that's okay because they've got three superstars locked in and they're trying to win a championship. This is not that team. And so that's why I think it's really dangerous to go down that road. But, yeah, of course, whoever they take at three would have an impact on this for sure.
Jason Lloyd with us on the hotline. Boy, it seems to me right now there's been a lot of Cavs chatter. I think a lot of fans have said, all right, we gave you 3 years. We did this agonizing rebuild for 3 years. We didn't really necessarily care about wins and losses. Everything was okay for most fans. I get it if you're a season ticket holder. That probably would not have been fun. But now the 3 years is over. What should the expectation be right now for this team? And is Dan Gilbert the type of owner, and I think I know the answer to this already, is he the type of owner that's going to be okay with another year of the rebuild, or are they going to try to speed this up right now, try to take a shortcut?
Well, you know, I wrote over the weekend, let's not forget the last time they went through this, the fourth year, and circumstances are a little bit different this time because they're not hoping and praying that LeBron comes back, obviously. But in the fourth year of the rebuild last time, the coach and GM were both fired. The coach was fired for the second time. But the coach and GM were both fired in the fourth rebuild because they didn't make the playoffs. They improved by 9 wins over the previous year. They checked a lot of the boxes and things they wanted to do. Mike Brown fixed a lot of the problems defensively that they were having. Like there was a list of things that did get done, but the season was also considered a disaster, and they missed the playoffs, even though they improved by 9 wins. And both guys were fired. So that to me, that's still my bar. Like, you know, they probably got to make the playoffs or come really, really close. And you know, Kobe's not running from it. Kobe's not running from the playoff talk. And, you know, I thought last year it was premature and silly to say that, you know, they were going to play for the playoffs or they were going to be in contention for that stupid play-in tournament. I don't think that's silly anymore. It's time to go. Like, it's time to take a leap. You know, Darius is going into his third year. Colin, if he's here, is going into his fourth year. Jared Allen, if Kevin Love stays healthy, plus this pick, like there's enough talent here now, especially in the East, at the bottom of the East, there's enough talent here now where that needs to be the expectation. That is the expectation.
Jace, I know, and I'm glad to talk to you. I haven't talked to you in forever. I'm just curious, you know, you had a story about, you know, the transition maybe to Grant Gilbert, his son, at some point for Dan. Is the
yep.
philosophy the same for the organization right now? Like, I wonder, you know, if Dan was the Dan that we, you know, knew before, and maybe still is Dan, you know, that same Dan, if they wouldn't be, like, putting pressure on to say, hey, let's go try to get that pick from Detroit. Let's go get Cade Cunningham. I want a champion. I want this. Is the pressure the same? Is the dynamic of the organization the same right now, you know, post-stroke for Dan?
That's a great question, and I actually was going to start to answer that in the previous answer, but here's everything that I know about that situation. Yes, I do 100% think Grant is going to transition into power at some point and become the guy. I absolutely believe that's going to happen. I don't know when. I don't think it's going to be tomorrow. I don't think it's going to be 6 months from now. He's still incredibly young, and I think he's got the perfect attitude for this. Like, I've legitimately really, like, real talk, I've really been impressed with Grant in the few interactions that I've had with him. Excuse me. I think he could be, like, that could be a really good thing for the Cavs. But in the short term, like, with Dan, it's strange because, like, all year long, everything I was told was, like, Dan's recovering. Dan bought this place in Miami. He's out of the loop. You know, Jay Farner and Matt Rizek are running things. You know, they're sort of the conduit between the front office and ownership. And Dan's really sort of been put in this bubble so that he can focus on his health and trying to get better.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden, Andy Varejao shows up. And I was told, yeah, that was Dan. That's what Dan wanted. Dan loved Andy, and that's what Dan wanted.
Huh.
So, like, is he becoming more involved as, you know, he gets farther away from the stroke? Possibly. I don't want to tell you definitively like it's this or it's this or it's this because, frankly, I don't know. All I know is I was told all year long Dan was out of the loop. You know, Grant's taking a more powerful role within the organization, and Grant's trying to learn the ropes, for lack of a better term, and Jay Farner and Matt Rizik are sort of the communication between Dan and ownership, or Dan in the front office. And then all of a sudden, Barzal shows up, and it was, yeah, that's all Dan. Which sort of jives with what I was told that, like, listen, when Dan's voice, when Dan wants his voice heard, it is heard, and it is heard loudly. It's just not heard as often, excuse me, as it was a few years ago, if that makes sense.
Gotcha. Yep, totally does.
All right, Jason Loy with us on The Athletic. So on draft night, we had a Woj bomb that, indeed, the Cavs were looking to wheel and deal. Then I've seen some speculation that could be a trade down. Oklahoma City is sitting there at 6, and then they also have the 16th pick. Could be a situation where the Cavs try to amass another pick. Then we have Orlando sitting there at 5 and number 8. So you have a few potential trade partners there. What do you think they could do here? What is in play?
Well, I don't think they're going down. Never say never on any of this stuff. And, you know, I was sitting in for Bruce Drennan the other day on his show, and we had Kobe on. And Kobe said he loved the players available at probably like 5 through 8. He thought there was some pretty good talent there. But you can't celebrate, oh, my goodness, we finally got the lottery luck that we haven't had. We finally have the chance to take a player at the spot that we haven't had in previous years. And then turn around and trade down back into the spots where you've been the last couple of years. Like, that doesn't make sense to me. So I don't think they're going to go down. I think that there's some pretty good players, 5 through 8, but I don't think that there's quite the level of athletic playmaker that there is at the top of this draft. So I don't think that they're going to go down. Could they go up? Yeah. You know, I don't know. If this is real, and I don't know if it is or not, but if this is real that Detroit really likes Jalen Green, and I'd be really surprised because we've all kind of assumed that Cade Cunningham was the number one pick. But if Detroit really, really wants Jalen, you know, the problem is Detroit would probably just swap with Houston. They wouldn't go all the way down to 3. They would only swap 1 and 2. So, if you go all the way to 3, you risk losing out on your guy at 2. So I think ultimately there's going to be a lot of talk and there's going to be a lot of rumors and there's going to be a lot of speculation between now and the draft. Just my opinion, I think the Cavs will probably wind up staying right where they are. Kobe told me it's going to be really difficult for someone to pry that pick away for us in terms of a trade down. I think probably they're going to wind up staying right where they are. And choosing between, I mean, there's other players, of course, Jonathan Kuminga and some of these other guys, but I think probably they'll wind up choosing between Evan Mobley or the two Jalen, depending on who's on the board at 3. But I could be wrong on that.
I know you kind of alluded to a few moments ago that is it almost make the playoffs or make the playoffs or bust for Kobe next year?
Yeah, I think that's it. I don't know. Listen, if they miss the play-in tournament by one game, is everybody fired? I don't know. I mean, you know, last time they went through this, the GM got fired halfway through the season of the fourth year, and the coach got fired after the season, after 1 year. So, I don't know the timing on everything, but they're all feeling the pressure. There's no question about it. Everybody over there is feeling the pressure of they know. And again, that's where Dan's health is really kind of the wild card in this. And, you know, if this was 5-6 years ago and the Cavs were in this position, I think we'd be having a different conversation because we all know how Dan operated back then. But I just don't know. I just don't know. Like I said, it was told all year long, Dan's out of the loop, Dan's in a bubble, Dan's recovering, Dan's focusing on his recovery, Dan's in Florida. And then all of a sudden, Andy Barzal shows up on the roster and it was, oh, that was all Dan. So I don't want to say definitively what is or what isn't happening with that dynamic because I just don't know.
All right, switching to the Browns here, and some people, their eyebrows were raised around the NFL when Baker Mayfield's agent went on record last week. Obviously, Baker's been very quiet about his contract, says it's going to be handled. You've heard similar things from Nick Chubb. Did any of that surprise you? Because the thought that has been out there is that was to drum up an offer from the Browns, and Mary Kay did some reporting and said there has been no offer from the Browns. Does that surprise you? Should there be an offer from the Browns right now?
No, I've been on the show before, said I would not sign him this summer. I would wait. Now, you know, I'm beginning to think that they probably will offer at some point, but I wouldn't. I haven't seen enough, man. Like, maybe I'm in the minority on that, but we have 3 years of evidence, and 1.5 of that is really good, and 1.5 years of that is not so good. And a coin flip, to me, is not worth the type of investment that they're talking about. Even if it costs you more on the back end, I still would wait. But if you're going to go first. You know, none of those quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, or Baker, none of those guys want to be the one to go first. But if you're the team, especially if you're a team in the Brown situation where maybe you're not entirely positive, you're not 100% sure that's the guy, but you want to get something done with him for other reasons, I would want to get that done first, because once those other two guys set the bar, set the market, now you might have a little bit of a problem. So if you're going to go first.
Jace, let me flip the switch on you. If you were Baker, why would you want to sign now? Other than injury? I mean, you've got a lot to, you know, you talk about him proving it. If he does prove it, why would you want to sign now when you could make a lot more money on the other end? Like, if I'm Baker, I think it's great that people are saying, hey, sign the guy, do this, do that. But I mean, we all know who he is, and I kind of like the thought of him playing under a, hey, I'm going to prove to everybody how much I'm worth kind of scenario, and prove to everybody that he should earn the money. He's done this before in his career to be able to have kind of the odds against him and go out and accomplish something. If you're Baker, do you really want to sign now?
Yeah, and here's why. Because how much difference are we talking about with how much more he's going to make? It would be more waiting a year. It would be more. But when the paper is in front of you and it's got all those zeros on it, it's really hard to turn it down and walk away. And I mean, I said this to you guys when I was on last time, or one of the previous times with Ken and Anthony. I said, you know, Kevin Love had $120 million in his bank account from the Cavs. And even though this probably wasn't his first choice, he took another $120 million because of all the zeros on the paper. And it's really hard to walk away from all that money. When someone is willing to give it to you, it's really hard to say no. And, you know, it's a little bit different than, you know, like, say, Francisco Lindor, where the Indians' offer was significantly less than what he was going to make in free agency or from another team. You know, hometown discount and all that doesn't really apply. So to me, the jump in money that Baker would make by waiting a year is not enough to not sign now. Because again, when you get, I mean, he makes good money based on the fact he's the number one pick in the draft, but that is, you know, generational, lifetime changing money that they're going to offer you in a sport with the high risk of injury that it is. Maybe not so much a quarterback now because the rule changes, but there's still a pretty high risk. I think if the Browns offer it, I think they'll take it.
Jason, terrific stuff. Won't ask you about the pit stains. Ken was obsessed with it last week.
Hey, man, it was hot in there. What do you want?
I mean, it's hot for everybody, though.
I mean, really, do we have to go there? That's not cool.
Well, that's basket didn't show, Jason, so he was spared. He didn't have to worry about it.
No,
that's true. I was out of town.
Ken texted me. He goes, you don't want to go back. Or I forget what he said. Something like, you better go back and listen, or you better not go back and listen to the 6 o'clock hour. And I went back and listened. I don't care, man. I thought it was funny.
What'd you think of nightclub life with me and Ken at the same place at the same time?
I think I'm way too old for that, and I had to get out of there. When I could be like the dad to some of the girls that were running around in there, and I'm like, what's the matter with you? Put some more clothes on. Yeah, my life has changed a bit over the last 20 years. I had a great time celebrating with you guys, but it was time for me to go.
You do not want to know what the bill was. It's a good thing you left.
Oh, God. Oh, wow. You better text it to me because now I'm curious.
All right, thank you. Jason Lloyd of The Athletic. You read his stuff.
Thanks,
there.
Jason.
Appreciate it.
See you guys.
All right, Jason Lloyd on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.